Hi, I'm Juan Galloway.
And I'm Tracy Galloway.
Welcome to our podcast, 36 Questions.
This is an unscripted show where we candidly and spontaneously answer 36 questions that lead to love.
These 36 questions were invented by psychologist Arthur Aaron, who created this exercise to help people be vulnerable in order to foster closeness and intimacy.
We have been married since 1992 and have four awesome grown children together. We have both been in Christian leadership for over 30 years. We have been youth pastors, church planters, lead pastors, ministry school directors, nonprofit leaders, and are now missionaries.
Yes, we are missionaries with Youth with a Mission, YWAM, the largest missions organization in the world, and are following our call to know God and make Him known to the nations.
You know, our hope is that as we dig deep into each other's lives, that you will be inspired to do the same.
Let's dive in. Drum roll.
Bam!
Da da da!
You made it! I don't know if you listened to all 36, but if you did, I am so impressed with you.
If you didn't, shame on you, cheater. Go back and listen from episode one.
You have to listen to all of them.
Or we don't count it.
Just kidding. Wow, I can't believe we made it. This all started as really a spontaneous experiment where we were just reading a book by Jenny Allen, and she mentioned 36 questions in the book. And we thought, oh, that would be a fun podcast to do. And you picked up your phone, downloaded a podcast app, and the first episode, I think we just recorded into the phone, literally.
With no microphone.
5 minutes after we decided to do it with no microphone.
Let me tell you, the first episode was November 10th, 2018.
Wow.
This is 2023, so 5 years.
It took...
And by the way, today's November 1st.
Yeah.
So that's almost exact. It's the same month. We started in November.
Oh, we did.
November 10th. So anyway.
So 5 years. I thought we'd do this like in one, like 6 months, maybe.
Man, we're slackers.
5 years. So that's why our picture on the front.
Yeah.
That's what we look like 5 years ago. So if you notice now, you're like, who are those people?
They look a lot more gray.
They look thin and have no gray hair. And it's like, well, that was us 5 years ago. We actually looked young. We got really old the past 5 years. Really old.
Well, I mean, look, COVID happened, the pandemic.
Oh, my gosh. We got fat. We got gray. we moved. Everything changed. So thanks for being on this
journey. We're grandparents now.
Oh, yeah. Now we're grandparents.
Well, think of all the
I think our kids were living at home. Now they're all grown.
That's true.
So
they left home.
So thank you for going on this journey with us. This is what we consider our date. We get together and do a podcast as one of our many dates.
Yeah,
this
will be shocking to most of you. We don't get paid to do this podcast.
We don't advertise. We get zero money.
This is our hobby.
We just do it for fun.
Yeah, we want to spread the love, spread the joy.
Yeah, spread the
love.
We
have a great marriage.
We do.
We've been involved in some great ministry.
True.
And we just want to share the journey and the adventure.
Right.
So this is just a way to kind of do it together.
Yeah, that's right. So, final question. What is it? And again, this is always spontaneous. We're just answering off the top of our head. Nothing scripted. So, I'm curious to know what the last... Because the last question from 35, I hated that one. Hated it.
Yeah, you've never been a big fan of death.
No, it's...
You would make a terrible goth. I mean the worst goth, by the way.
I do like black, though. I wear a lot of black.
You don't see a lot of goths around anymore. It feels like early 2000s or something, there was more of that.
I thought it was the 1990s or 1980s where it was big. I think the goths today would be 80s. Grandparents. They're probably like grandparent goths somewhere because they'd be old.
I did, you know, I actually did come across some band online and they were dressed in goth makeup. And I listened to it. It sounded very new wave, like The Cure. And I was like... They were actually pretty good. And I watched a video of them playing at like a fair, town fair.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because there's all these normal country people. And then the people singing with black lips. And it was just...
Well, that's their purple cow.
It was too funny.
That was their purple cow. So the purple cow is a book and it talks about doing something different.
Right. Out of the ordinary. Out of the stand ordinary. Out from the pack.
To stand out from everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're right. And you know, the funny thing was all these families, they were loving the performance. But I just thought it looked so bizarre.
Like Kiss or not like Kiss?
No, no, not like Kiss. Like black hair, black lipstick, black weird nets and leather clothes.
I hate black net.
You know, like Edward Scissorhands. That's what they look like.
I kind of do like Edward Scissorhands. Well,
who doesn't like Edward Scissorhands?
He's such a sweetie.
If he's a goth, he's my favorite goth.
He's my favorite. I love his hair and his style and his little heart. So nice. All right. That's enough about that. What's the question?
Okay. Great question. Okay. Number 36.
Okay.
Mambo, share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how they might handle it. That's me. Also, ask your partner to reflect back to you how you seem to be feeling about the problem you have chosen.
Okay, that's too many words. I can't process any of it. So right.
We'll just go back to the beginning.
Go back Start and just give easy. Me the first yeah, yeah. part, and then I can think for a second.
Okay, Mambo, share a personal problem.
Okay, personal problem.
Now, this is just between you and me. I won't tell anybody about it. All right. Share a personal problem and ask my advice, your partner's advice.
I have a problem. I'm going to ask for your advice.
Yeah, on how I might handle it.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
Either way.
Do you have something?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you go first?
Okay. Okay, so...
Because I don't have any problems.
Oh, of course. Goes without saying.
Yeah, you're the one with all the problems. Hey. I'm the one with all the advice and the answers, don't you know?
And I'm so lucky to have somebody with all the answers to all of my problems.
Who's always right. Always
yes, right.
Always right.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
I'm the only husband on earth who has a spouse with all the answers and is always right.
Oh, you're lucky so lucky, me. Lucky, lucky.
31 years of good times.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. So you know this problem because it's your problem too, but we sold our house in... Mm-hmm.
Well, we left our house in 2020, yeah, December.
Right. And then we were on the road while we were in Kona and working with YWAM for the first time.
But different locations.
Yeah.
Always moving.
And traveling a lot. And anyway... we sold our house and it was the family home.
Yeah. You know? It was a great home.
We had our last Christmas there in 2020.
It was on an apple orchard and you had the barn studio.
It was a special place.
It was special.
Okay. But we're not motivated by
stuff
generally.
Money. We don't care about any of that.
Right. But I mean, I appreciate stuff that God blesses us with, but it's not the driving force of our lives.
No.
And we were living in a pretty big house because we have four kids, so it was meant for six people, but then our kids grew up and moved away.
Right.
And so then we're all alone in this big house. And so it felt kind of right. Well, I mean, we don't need all this space and we're moving out of the state and out of the area and it's time to let it go. So we sold it. Mm-hmm. And then for the last, 3 years, really, we've been houseless. We don't own a home.
And we've also, I mean, even just this year, I always say everywhere we are, that's our home. So if we're in a certain country or a certain city, people are like, where do you live? And I'll say, right here, because it's where I live, because we live nowhere else. That's the only place we live is where we are, right?
Yeah.
And so we've actually lived in 60 locations this year.
60?
60.
Locations.
Just in 2023. So we are on the move. So what's the problem, though? Is that the problem?
Well, although it was a great year,
staying
at 60 locations, it's not sustainable long term. The body and the mind and the soul are not designed to live in 60 locations a year. God got us through it. It was great.
I mean,
we ministered to like 1,300 people this year, directly trained, equipped, ministered.
And we ministered, how many different YWAM campuses?
23.
I thought we were going to do 25, but we didn't quite make it 25. 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only 23. Jeez. In 13 countries. So anyway, that's a lot. And it was great. Mm-hmm. But we could tell that along the way, fatigue, physical health, it's not sustainable to do that for long term.
No.
You know, so.
Well, as we were going, we were kind of looking for a place to sort of base out of along with Kona.
Yes.
That was more centrally located to all the places we travel to speak and
teach. Right.
And
so train. There were several bases in Europe that offered to have us kind of work with their team and base out of there to travel to
part
all
of the
other countries.
Like part of the year to live there.
Right.
And so everywhere, it's funny, everywhere we went, it was like, should we live here? Like we'd pull up, open the door and be like, should we live here? Like,
yeah, everywhere. It was weird. Every town we came into is like, is this it, Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you want us to stay here?
Because God, we'll go anywhere. We'll do anything. Where do you want us? You know, but we really didn't get clarity. I mean, I would say there was one that was my favorite. And Herlock Castle in Germany was like my number one, but
yeah, great base.
Yeah,
great people,
but
love it.
But I still haven't really heard from the Lord about it.
Yeah. And we are praying. In fact, we're about to go into a 3-day fast.
Yes.
Right after this podcast, the next 3 days. Mm-hmm. And, we're going to be praying a lot, listening a lot on Lord, you know, which direction, where do we go? We still want to keep traveling mm-hmm. and going to the nations because yeah. we really feel called to that.
Yeah.
But you need a place to come home and recuperate from the nations. That's what I learned this year. Mm. Yeah. So
it's been weird not having stuff too. Like everything we have is in our 2 suitcases
oh
and then we
gosh.
Have 2 suitcases back
carry
in
on,
Kona.
Carry on suitcases.
2 carry-on suitcases,
small.
2 backpacks. And then back in Kona, you have a suitcase and I have a suitcase of just like winter clothes.
It's not much. Yeah.
Not much. But yeah, not having stuff. Is like I kind of miss my photo albums. You miss like you have a few guitars.
Yeah, I haven't like I
that we that's back in New Jersey.
Yeah, I like my electric guitar, my bass because I write music. So
you know what I miss?
I'd
is
love to have
I
that.
Had that trunk that I bought in California when we were first married. It was mm-hmm. an old antique trunk, and we've used it to like put our TV on our whole life.
Yeah,
like wherever we live.
Oh, somebody's calling the podcast. Hello, caller.
Nice.
Let me turn
ring.
That off. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, well,
looks
you
like
you can get back to
looks me. Like somebody's calling from Hawaii.
Oh,
Hawaii.
You can call him back. You want to take it?
No, I'm calling back.
Okay, call back. I forget.
I'll give them a buzz. Whoever they are,
We're so professional.
Actually, I think who that was like a mortgage company to tell us about what we qualify for if we're going to buy a house.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I'll call him back, but. Yeah, so we're...
Oh, is that what your problem is? I'm sorry, we haven't really
gotten
to
I know. That's the problem is we need a place to call home to come back to. And it could be near our... We do have a home campus, okay, in
our home
Hawaii,
campus is in Kona.
But we don't have a rental or a home
place.
that we own mm-hmm. there. At so.
And the reason why it's in Kona is that's one of the largest campuses in the world. And our boss is there. And because our boss is there, it's a place to kind of call.
And we teach and minister there.
Yeah,
there's
we teach and
like
minister.
Up to 1,000 students on campus there coming to be trained as missionaries.
Yeah, but we usually train the staff, and there's about 400 staff, and we train missionaries. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So, is it there, Lord? Is it in Kona? Or do you want us to go to a different nation? Is it Asia? Is it South America? Is it Europe? I mean, we're really open.
Right.
Not many people can consider that, but we are seriously considering all of that.
That's true.
And we just want to know, Lord, where would you have us go? And so that's my problem is, you know, when everything is a possibility, it's really,
overwhelming.
It's overwhelming and it's hard to hone down. Like, so I have thought about it a million times and I have not come up with the answer, but I know this is something we need. And of course it has to be affordable, you know?
I know, you know, after we paid off the mortgage for our last house, there wasn't a lot left. There's just some to put a down payment on another house. But that, because of everything being twice as expensive post-COVID, I think we can only afford like a 1-bedroom condo is the problem. And then we can't even really afford that.
Well,
but
or, you know, and we've even talked about, Lord, do you want us, because some countries you're not allowed as Americans to buy property, by the way, you can't buy a house. It's against the law.
Right, or you have to pay cash. We don't have enough cash for any of that.
Or they don't even allow it, period, to own land. They mm-hmm. You can rent. So I'm like, Lord, do you want us to rent for a year or two? Or, you know, what is it? Mm-hmm. I'm open, but we need a regular place to mm-hmm. do our thing. And because we want to, you know, I'm 53, you're 50. Mm-hmm. We're not 20 and 23. And we need to live a sustainable lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle. We teach healthy leadership, so we got to live healthy and sustainable, not burn out, right? Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. not good. The Lord doesn't want that. So yeah, just what is best for the long term for us to continue to build the kingdom of God, disciple leaders.
Okay, so read the question again and help me understand. Your problem is that you want to know where we should live. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my personal problem. How should I handle this?
And I'm supposed to give the answer of how you should handle it.
Yeah, I'm asking your advice, and then you're supposed to tell me how you think I'm feeling about it.
Well, yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, my advice is... You keep slamming that on the table.
Sorry. I apologize, listeners.
So unprofessional. My advice is... not to think about it so much. Because okay. I do think you think about it and we talk about it almost every day. Mm. And I think because you're such a organized person and structured person,
yeah,
that you should allow yourself a certain time every week, like an hour, where mm-hmm. we can talk about it, where you can research, where you can look at homes, or you can work on mortgages or
look
whatever.
On Zillow.
Whatever you want to do. It's only during that time that you think about it and work on it. And then other than that, you don't think about it and trust God. Because I don't feel like God's really revealed it to us yet. Mm-hmm. And so the problem is if we think about it every day, if we plan and we scroll and we look every night before bed or whatever it is, mm-hmm. I think what will happen is we'll make our own plans without and move forward without the Lord, without what he has. Mm. And so I think he'll reveal to us the place and mm-hmm. the people and the situation and his timing and his way. So is it okay to think about it? Sure, we're human. Is it okay to look around? Of course, that's okay. But I think you have to limit it. Mm-hmm. And then if you put it just in its place, like, okay, I'm just going to do it this time, then the rest of the week, you're not thinking about it. You're not going to worry. Or you put it off like, oh, I'll think about that on Monday at 2, whenever your time is that you do it, right?
Okay.
I'm going to put it off till then. And then that way, it's not a stress or anything to make you sad, except for that short amount of period when you're working on it per week. So I think that would take away like 75% of the stress, worry, and concern and thoughts that can just spiral, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because God knows, you know, the Lord knows where we're going to be and when and how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And I trust him. He's always taken care of us.
Yeah.
He'll take care of us and he'll show us, right?
Okay.
Even if he says not to have a home, which I think is the hardest thing, is to say, what if God says he doesn't want us to have a home for another year or two? I mean, I almost want to reject that. Like, that's crazy. But whatever he says.
Well, we'll live somewhere. We're not going to be homeless. But yeah, mm-hmm. we live in a lot of temporary places right now.
Right.
Very temporary. Like one new place a week or two at the most.
Right. Right. So no one really lives like us that I've ever met.
For good reason. Yeah, but we are unique people who actually, if you're called to it and you have the kind of background and personality and temperament, we can do things that it's just our niche.
Well, you can do anything through Christ who gives you strength, right? If he's called you to it. Yeah. And I think God has called us to this for a season.
Yeah.
It's a season. And I just want to make a wise decision with the little bit of money that we do have.
Sure.
Which came from basically... I used to flip homes, and that's why we even had a home.
So you were a contractor? You're out there like knocking walls down and stuff?
No, but I got our first home, fixed it up, sold it for more, put the down payment on the next home.
Yeah.
Fixed it up, sold it for more, uh-huh. took the profit for that to put the down payment on the next home. And so I did that 1, 2, 3, 4 times. And so... the profit from each house sale that I worked on is the money we have left from the house.
Right. Yeah. Good job.
It's not really from your income or anything like that. It's all from, it's all the money I made.
Good job.
Thanks. So I'm hopeful that, we'll be able to make a wise decision about what to do with that.
So how do you think I'm feeling about this problem?
Oh, that's a good question. How do I think?
Look into my eyes, deep into my eyes.
I feel like you look cute and you have nice eyes.
That's not how I feel about this house, the situation.
I think you feel more strongly about it than I do.
Okay.
I feel like you really need a home, and you need it now.
Well, I'd like to have it now, but I know it's not going to happen right now.
I feel like you're sick and tired
of
living on the road for 3 years.
Yeah.
And you really want a home. You want to have a home with a place for all of your guitars and your music equipment. And you want to have your things around you and your Tom Petty books piled high.
I collect all the rock and roll books about, classic rock bands.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I think, sorry, I'm having a little asthma. Yeah. Is that the way you feel about it? Do you feel sad?
Well, as you know, I'm not a spontaneous person. You're the spontaneous person in this relationship. I'm a person of structure, habit, systems. And so bouncing from place to place. And by the way, we don't just live in a new place. We meet a lot of new people every week.
And we don't know anyone where we go.
Right.
So and we meet all new people.
It's pretty exhausting. It's pretty fun. It is fun.
Great people.
But then you want to go home and take a break and recuperate so you can go out and do it again. But instead, we just go to the next place.
Because there's no home. There's no home.
So it's for an introverted person too. It's exhausting. I need some downtime. Hello. Mm. I need time with the Lord.
Well, you spend a lot of time with the Lord every day.
Yeah, but...
That has nothing to do with the home.
I just remember being in our old home, and like once a month in the winter especially, I would go, and we had this barn. I'd go in there and I would like spend hours praying, worshiping, seeking God. Mm-hmm. It was my spot. My stuff was there, the music. It was just great. And when we're on the road, we're in one room looking at each other. There's no privacy. There's no separation.
Sometimes we have a living room.
Yeah, sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't, okay?
Yeah.
And so it's a weird life having no privacy.
Mm.
It's just, it's different. So anyway.
I did learn this year that I have to have a bathroom.
Well, everyone has to go to the bathroom.
I know, but a lot of places we'd stay, the bathroom would be like...
Down the hall and down the other hall. Take a turn around the corner.
Past 10 doors.
These are big buildings, okay, we're talking about. Bases. Yeah,
Wyman bases. Like, we need a bathroom right there. I can't do that anymore. I'm too old. But God bless you if you do that and you're in YWAM. God bless you. Bless your heart. That's what we say in Texas. Bless your heart. But I don't need much.
Mm-hmm.
I just need a room, a living room, a bathroom, a kitchen, maybe a second bedroom in case our kids want to visit or they need to come stay.
All I need is a media room, a recording studio, a hot tub. Just kidding. Just kidding. I don't have any of that. But sounds awesome.
But, ideally I'd like to live somewhere where we're not, like, I don't really want to live in a condo because you like to play guitar and sing. And we need to be in a place where we're not bothering people. Like, we're not right on top of each other.
Yeah.
And I really like nature a lot. I would love to be somewhere where there's, you look out the window and it's, you just look at trees. Oh, what a dream.
Yeah.
That would be so dreamy.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So did I answer your question?
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Is that the last part of the question or is there any more?
Nope.
Okay, so let's get to our final, last, the very end book that we're going to recommend. And there were so many to choose from, so we decided to choose the best book in the world.
Yes.
So let's see what it is.
You're wondering, best book in the world?
Well, it's the bestseller of all time.
Yeah, translated into... almost every language on earth. And by the way, YWAM and many others are working to translate it into the rest of the languages that are left.
Right. The language that there are a lot of languages that don't have this book and they're working on translating it right now. That's right.
And this book has transformed nations.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, nations who have this book and make it available to everybody and they live by this book, they actually have more prosperity in their country.
Yep.
They have better families.
More justice.
More justice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just amazing the results of this book being available globally. And it's called...
You may have heard of the author, Dr. Seuss. No, just kidding. It's not that. It's the author is, his name is God. The name of the book is The Holy Bible.
The Bible.
Santa Biblia.
Yay.
Yeah, I know you're thinking that's a cop out. No, it's not. Okay. Let me get more specific. Not just the old Bible that was on your grandmother's shelf. We're talking the YouVersion Bible.
Ah, yeah. So it's the app. The YouVersion app. It looks like a little brown Bible. It says Holy Bible on it.
It looks like an old Bible.
Yeah.
I always wonder, why don't you update this?
I know. Why do they make it? I guess people just identify that with it being a Bible, I guess. But it's this app, and they have Bible studies on there. They have sometimes...
devotional reading plans.
Yeah. In fact, if you don't want to read, unless you can't sleep at night, you could just put it it'll read it to you out loud, like an Audible.
Yeah.
On the app, and it reads it to you.
Yeah, and you can read so many different versions and languages. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm reading scripture, and then I'm like, I'm not exactly sure what that means, or let me look at this other version. Click, click, boom, I'm there in the app, whether it's on my iPad or my phone, and then I'm reading a total different take on it.
Yeah.
Modern, maybe. And I'm like, oh, I see what they're saying. You know, it's like, never in all of history would you be able to do this unless you literally had 100 different Bibles that you paid, and Bibles are expensive, by the way, like $50.
100.
Or more, right? And you'd have to have a giant shelf full of 100 different Bibles and grab it off, and you know what I mean? This is like...
This technology,
what it offers to the world...
is so new globally. In thousands of years, they've never had access like this.
And it's free!
Yeah.
And hello!
Right. And I think theologians now have the ability to communicate all over the world about interpretations and everything. So it's just getting so much better and so much more concise to the original language. And I used to read ESV version. That's
a lot of churches
English
use
Standard
that.
Version. But ESV is a little bit behind now. They haven't updated. They use the word man for mankind. And so you read it and you think it's just talking to men, but actually in the original language, it's saying men and women, mankind, but they just say man.
Which is confusing to a modern listener
or
reader who doesn't use that terminology.
Nobody says man that includes women anymore. And so...
The same way, brothers and sisters, it'll just say, brothers, we think blah, 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 you should do this. Well, if you look back to the original text, it's not male men, it's not male people. It's a general term for people, men and women. But when you translate it that way, you think, oh, this is just for men.
Right. And so that's why I've switched from ESV now to NLT, New Living Translation.
Yeah.
Because they're I think, the most updated year.
It's a great translation. I've been reading that a lot lately.
Yeah. And they're using the original Greek, the original. It's the most accurate to the original language,
and,
I believe.
And a lot of people may not know that that's a great translation, because if you've heard of the Living Bible.
Yeah, in the old days, that wasn't super great.
The Living Bible, it was pretty revolutionary. I read it when I was a kid in the 70s, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was translated by one guy. Did you know that? By one guy. And he did a great job, but he wasn't a theologian, right? So... the New Living Bible, it actually...
yeah, that's completely different.
It's a whole slew of theologians
who...
and so it's really good.
Yeah, it's excellent. And I once I learned that there were some translations that have refused to put men and women when the actual original language means men and women or everyone.
Yeah.
And they've refused to do that. I'm like... why would you refuse to translate it accurately from the original language?
Well,
it's hard to understand.
Yeah. And, you know, the truth is men are imperfect. And even some of the translators who did a good job in a lot of it, but the Bible's huge, right? Mm. But some of them, unfortunately, would translate if it was, for example, the word diakonio, which is Greek for minister, mm-hmm. is the word. But if it was a woman, they would translate it as helper. But if the same word with the same meaning applied to a man, they would say, to a man, say minister. If it was a woman, they'd say helper. Well, why would you change the meaning of the word for men and women?
When it's the same word.
And make one seem lower. Oh, helper, that seems lowly, servitude. Mm. Oh, minister, that sounds like important, right? Mm. And so you're elevating men, and you're bringing women down when both are called to both help, right? Which means to serve, and minister, which means to serve. And so whatever you're going to choose, make it the same. God created men and women. There's no difference. There's no Jew or Gentile, right? There's no difference.
Right. I mean, there's difference in men and women.
Of course, we're made differently, but we have the same calling.
We have the same access to all the same callings. Yeah, yeah. All the gifts in the Bible are not just for men. Yeah. They're for men and women, yeah. So yeah, I love this.
Now, we're not that crazy. We're not like King James only people here, okay?
No, and we believe the Bible is the word of God. It's inspired by God, written by God, using, yeah. And it's a story. It's a story of God that's been written by so many people over many years. And it weaves a story. Some people don't believe the Old Testament anymore. They're just New Testament Christians. And I'm like, then I don't think they're Christian.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, they're off, because constantly throughout the Old Testament, they quote Old Testament scripture.
So no, constantly through the New Testament.
Yes, they're quoting Old Testament scripture. Right. And so Jesus especially. Yeah. So you're going to say, oh, well, that's not right. Old Testament, that's kind of a mess. Well, what? You're doubting Jesus now? Yeah. When did he say that it wasn't accurate?
Right.
He quoted it and read it and taught it.
That's true. Good point.
So anyway.
Yeah, Jesus is the way to go. He's doing it.
Now, this is a fun translation I would throw out there if you want to liven up your Bible study time, your devotions.
Okay.
This is not new, but the Message version of the Bible is actually a paraphrase. Mm-hmm. So it's not word for word translation, but I think it does make you rethink some of Scripture and really dig in more. So I found it to be a great, I'll give you an example. John 14, this is Jesus talking, and this is the Message version. Don't let this rattle you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me, there's plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get a room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. And you already know the road I'm taking. And so it's like, you know, rather than say, don't be afraid, he's like, don't let this rattle you, you know? Mm. And so there's a lot of more common colloquialism that mm-hmm. he'll throw in there. Mm-hmm. And I think it just helps us to kind of connect and get past the formality sometimes or mm-hmm. academics of what we think scripture is like mm. to really get into the beating heart of God. Mm. So anyway, I think the Message is a fun read and helps you get a little deeper into scripture.
Yeah, if you've already read the other, you know, main versions.
Or alongside
it. Yeah, sure. Well, so that is our final book that we recommend. I don't know if we ever recommended it before or not.
No,
I don't think so.
But I don't think so. But, you know, the YouVersion, the cool thing is the app, you can copy scriptures and paste them into a post if you want to share it with somebody, or into your own, you know, maybe journal on your computer or your mm-hmm. notebook or tablet. Mm-hmm. And so,
and then also, I think there's so many times that we sit and scroll on our phone, and it's always Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. What if we also would click on the Bible app and scroll through that
while we're in line?
Yeah, while we're in line, like, because, you know, the word of God is like fresh water for your soul that you can drink. Mm. And so I think we ingest so much content from around the globe, news, style, everything, whatever you're into.
Social media.
You're ingesting content. And so how much content are you ingesting from the Lord, right? If it's sermons, online sermons from liquidchurch.com or lifechurch.com or some of these great online churches, or if it's from the Word of God or a Christian book
or worship,
Hillsong worship, or putting worship on YouTube and having it playing, you know, we have to feed our spirit. And I think the noise is so loud from social media that we need the Lord to come and quiet our soul and our spirit and draw him close to his heart. And that's where life transformation happens, not just for ourselves, but in our marriages, with our kids and even exposing our kids to the Bible. You know what I really loved about you, Juan, is when our kids were little, you would sit them down in the living room before school and you'd read a chapter of the Bible to them. And they would cuddle up under your arm. Mm-hmm. And you'd just read a chapter of the Bible and you'd stop and you'd ask them, what part of this meant something to you? What did you like best about this chapter? And then that way they would be listening because they knew they were going to have that question.
They'd reflect on it. Yeah.
And they'd reflect and share, and then you'd pray with them. And our kids, after they left home, they would always say that was one of their favorite memories with you, is you'd sit and read the Bible with them before school. Just one chapter. It took like 5 minutes.
And I didn't make them do it. They would actually see me just reading my Bible in the living room, and they'd come and sit down by me. So, because they wanted to be a dad. And so if they saw dad valued it, then they're like, oh, that must be valuable. I want to value that too.
And I think you did it because your dad valued the Bible and he used to read it a lot.
Yeah, my dad was a little crazier. He would have us memorize a verse like every morning before school.
Really?
Which when you're half awake as a teenager or or younger, elementary, you're like, you know. But he did instill that value for the word in me. I never lost that either. So I thought it was awesome. And I think if you're not constantly, somebody said once, we have to be filled with the Spirit, but not just once, because we tend to leak. So if you're not constantly filling up, you end up empty, because our default, because we're in this jar of clay or this tent, as the Bible calls it, all these things.
Our body.
Hello. Our default is carnal. Our default is flesh. And so if we're not filling up with the Spirit, well, what do you expect is going to happen if you're filling up on all these other things? Well, they're going to amplify the flesh.
And what you fill up in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And if you're filling up with life and truth, you will speak life and speak truth. And if you're speaking death and negativity, then you need more of the word of God in your heart and in your life. And not everyone's a reader. I get this. Not everyone's a reader. And so that's why I think it's excellent to be able to listen to it audibly. Play it even.
Yeah, so good. And if we don't value this, it's no wonder people are struggling with depression, anxiety. You know, it's like there's pressures out there in this life, and you need something to face them with so you can stand strong and not be moved. You know, so the word is super important. And unfortunately, it seems like a lot of Christians are devaluing it.
There's definitely right now in this season of the world a drift away from the word of God and devaluing the word of God. And that's what would happen in every single denomination in history that got dry, old, and dead, and all the churches started closing. It all started the first part of their demise was they started to devalue the word of God. And then slowly
to try to be, quote, relevant to the world.
To be relevant. And in that, they drifted and drifted and drifted. And then all the churches started emptying because people don't go to church except to have life transformation because they need God. And so if you're not offering the gospel, if you're not offering the word of God, if you're not training them in the word or teaching them the word, there's not going to be that life transformation. Otherwise, they could just go to a self-help guru, right? They don't need to go to church.
And then you become completely irrelevant to the world because you have really nothing to offer them.
Right. Except what everyone else is offering who doesn't have God. Yeah. So there's a lot of self-help books out there. There's a lot of self-help gurus. There's a lot of world religions. Yeah. But Christianity is unique. It's unique. And Christianity, the core of it is the word of God, is his truth that transforms our heart and our mind and our lives. And I know this personally because I became a Christian as a teenager. And before I became a Christian, I was living in sin. I was bitter. I was angry. I wore upside down cross earrings. I would cuss out my mom. I hated people. I was good too. I could be good. I could be smart. I could be nice. I could help the poor. But my heart was not the Lord's and my life was not transformed. I had darkness inside. But when I asked Jesus into my heart And by the way, when I became a Christian, I sat down and I read through the whole New Testament like in 2 weeks. I just ate the Word of God and it filled me up and it gave me so much life. And there's a verse that says that the Word of God transforms your mind. Yeah. Like it transformed the way I thought, the way I saw the world, the way I saw people, and it changed my life forever. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for this book because it's made me who I am today.
Yeah. And if you're not a reader, I remember as a young person, it was hard for me to read the Bible every day and I felt bad about it. I felt guilty, but I was like, I just kept pressing in and I asked the Lord, like, change me, give me a capacity. You know what I mean? Right. And then I had breakthrough. Right. And now, I mean, we've been reading, I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible in my lifetime. A lot of times.
I think also you can put the Bible app right next to your favorite app. Like
right at the top.
If you played Tetris at night before bed, put it right next to that. Like put it right where you're going to see it. And that helps. But anyway, this is the longest book review we've ever done.
It's the best one though. I mean, you can't beat this book.
Yeah. So the Bible, it will transform your life. The Word of God is truth and it is full of wonderful advice, adventure stories, controversial topics. It's got it all.
Yeah, totally. Check it out today.
Okay, so the question. All right. Actually, you're reading it to me, right? And then read me the beginning so I can...
Okay. Mambo. Share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice, that's me, on how I might handle it. We'll start with that part.
I don't have any problems. Just kidding.
That's your problem. You think you don't have any problems.
A personal problem. I guess I know I shouldn't do this because it seems like I'm copying you, but I'm totally not. This is the main problem in our life, and I feel like we have the same problem. And my problem is... it's not that I don't have a home or a house or a place to call home. It's more that my problem is I'm afraid we're going to make the wrong choice. Mm. Like I'm afraid that my problem is I haven't heard from God about it. And I don't want to do anything until I really hear from God about it. Cause it's such a big decision and I don't want to make a choice that's not right for the season of our life in this time. So that's my problem, is not really hearing from God and not in fear of making a choice that maybe isn't right because we're anxious. Like, I don't want to make a choice too quickly just because we want a place to be and then we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. I want to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
I guess that's my problem.
Okay.
So what's your response supposed to be? I forget. You're supposed to tell me what to do about it?
I'm supposed to give you some advice.
Okay, give me advice.
On what I think you should do. Well, I mean, what I heard in the very beginning of how you're describing it is fear. Mm. And fear is the opposite of faith, you know? And so fear is not from God, right? Fear is from the enemy. Mm. Anxiety, fear about making the wrong decision. That's something you're not supposed to carry. Mm. You're not supposed to carry fear. And, so I would advise you to, when you feel anxious about this and making the wrong decision and all that, just counteract that. Like, but don't coddle that. Be like, no, I refuse that. I'm not going down that road. I reject fear in Jesus' name. God, you have a place for us. You're going to show us. And I'm going to trust you and have faith, not fear about this. Someone said once that fear is having faith in the devil rather than God. You know, it's like the worst thing. You keep thinking about the worst thing that could happen. And the truth is, even if you messed up and I messed up and we got the wrong, quote, the wrong house, is God still on the throne?
Yeah.
In 20 years... will it matter? We got the wrong place? life's going to go on, and our life isn't about our home. And I think God is a good father who loves to give good gifts to his children. I believe he's going to give us what is right at the right time, and there's just no reason to fear.
Yeah, that's another, let me just piggyback with that a little bit. And that is, you know, when the interest rate was at 2%, we could afford something.
Right.
But now the interest rate, like being independent contractors, is like 8.5 or 9 being independent contractors. Yeah. And so it's so high that now we can't afford anything. Like, we could afford something, now we can't. And it's like,
you could afford a nice trailer home.
Stop it. But I don't know. I guess just even finding something seems really hard. I'm sure a lot of people feel this way right now. I mean, it's hard right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a common, I think, issue is housing. The market's really high.
Yeah.
People are struggling. Yeah. Yeah, so I hear you. But, yeah, we can't live in the past of when the interest rate was great. Because that was the lowest in
history of the world.
Decades. It's probably not going to go back that low. Probably, but who knows, right?
Yeah.
But your hope is not in the interest rate. It's in the Lord.
Okay.
And the last house we lived in, we couldn't have afforded in a normal situation.
Oh, that's true. We couldn't. God just made a way. That was like a miracle.
It was just, I mean.
I know. It was a miracle.
And we made money on it. You know what I'm saying? It all was an amazing blessing from God. Uh-huh. He's got another blessing in store.
Okay.
And I feel like we're wandering in the desert right now.
I do, yeah. But
I feel like the Lord is saying we are going to walk into the promised land. Mm. Doesn't mean we're going to have a mansion, except in heaven. That's what Jesus was saying in that verse. He's going to prepare a place for us, a room. But yeah, it's going to be okay. He's got it. And the second part of this question was how I think you're feeling about it. And, you know, I think you've been feeling anxious about it, and that you have to be ruthless when it comes to anxiety and be like, absolutely not, Lord. You have to immediately turn to the Lord and focus on the Lord's answer rather than what could go wrong, because you can believe something bad's going to happen or something's good going to happen.
Well, I think also, like, nothing feels like home. Like, everywhere we go, it doesn't feel like home. And there's no place that feels like home. And so, I don't know, maybe that's, you know, our home's in heaven. But it'd be nice if I was in a town, a city, a country, a place where I'm like, oh, I like it here. This feels right. I haven't felt that about anywhere. Yeah. And so it's hard to buy something or take all of your life savings and try to buy something in a place where you're like, I don't even feel at home here.
Yeah, and maybe I not settle, no roots, no family.
Yeah, no family, no friends.
It's kind of feels like a crapshoot. Yeah.
It's really, but, you know, I try not to think about it.
It's not forever though, too. Well, I mean, it's like whatever we choose to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think we're going to live there till we're 99 and then die?
No. I feel like whatever we get, we'll probably just be there for a couple of years. Well, that's what I mean. And then eventually move close to our grandkids. Even if it's not the perfect
place, right? It could be a huge blessing rather than in a hotel room or a bunk bed we stayed at in a YWAM base. And we could really enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Whether we're renting or buying or whatever.
So. No more bunk beds.
No. No. We're just too old to be climbing up in the bunks.
Oh, being a missionary. That's pretty adventure.
It's kind of a wild life.
Yeah.
But we love it.
Yeah, I love it. I do love it.
It's a joy.
There's, you know, there's hard and there's easy in everything.
Yeah.
You know, there's, and no matter what you choose for your life, for your career, for your family, there's going to be good and bad in all of it. And it's just trying to focus on the good and
yeah, trust I think God. Some of this is FOMO too. It's like, well, if I make the decision, I might be missing out on something even better. Right around the corner. Mm. That's just a huge waste of energy.
Yeah.
FOMO is not God. Mm. Fear of missing out. It's fear.
Fear.
It's just fear.
And fear isn't
from God. So I'd rather have faith in what God does.
The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind.
Power, love, and a sound mind. And that sound mind part is self-discipline and taking our thoughts captive. So let's take our thoughts captive. I'm preaching to myself now, you know. So I'll take your advice to not think about it all the time, because I don't think that's healthy. I think that's good advice.
And my advice is to say no. That's what you gave me. Say no.
and not just say no, but like focus on the Lord's answer. God, you've got something.
Yeah.
Which he does.
And I think speaking that out is powerful too. Like, you know, your words have power.
Yeah.
James is really, in the Bible, is really big about speaking, you know, your words have
power. It's like somebody, a pastor we worked for once, he said, you're the prophet of your own life. And I that always struck me, like what he was saying is what you choose to speak, believe and then speak out. There's power in that. And you can speak forth faith. God, you've got this and I know you're going to provide. Or you can talk about how worried you are all the time. And you know what I mean? It's like, so we're embracing God's promises and then we're speaking out of our mouth. It's not name it and claim it. It's there are true promises of God.
Yeah. I mean, I can attest to that with my healing that I experienced in June of 2019.
Yeah, you had to get aggressive.
I had to get aggressive
and speak it forth.
Speak through the truth. Forth the truth of my healing and really fight. Like, I think it's more just saying it. Like you're almost fighting the thoughts that are fear and negative. You have to literally kick its butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's cool. Well, I hope you benefited from this intimate discussion we've had about your problems and how you need to address them. And but you should, so there's this saying that pain shared is not doubled, it's halved.
Mm.
And so sometimes we hold it all in, but whatever your problems are, share it with somebody you trust. And then just getting it out in the open will take all that, at least half that stress and pressure and burden off of you and have somebody help carry that load who loves you.
Hey, let me also add to that if you do ask for someone's advice, don't ask for advice from somebody who's not doing excellent in that area. If somebody has a really bad marriage or has been divorced multiple times, don't ask them for marriage advice. Talk to the person who's been married for 30 or 40 years and has an awesome marriage. Yeah. Ask and them for advice.
Who's been through stuff and come out the other end.
Yeah. Don't ask your friend about who you should date or who shouldn't date if they date like 8 different people and they're never non-committal. Don't ask them.
Don't ask someone for investment advice who's buying scratcher cards at 7-Eleven every weekend.
Yeah. And I don't even want to say all the negative things you can invest in right now, but you shouldn't invest in anything unless you have 3 to 6 months savings, right? And you have a home and you're, you know what I mean? Like you're doing good. Then you start investing, but don't get financial advice from people who have bad finances, in any area or spiritual advice. Mm. Don't get spiritual advice from somebody who does not believe the Bible is the word of God. Somebody who does not go to church.
Someone who doesn't have the gifts of the Spirit evident in their life, the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience,
mm-hmm.
kindness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't have those fruits in their life, do not ask for spiritual advice from them, because
they don't have to be perfect, but I mean, come on, they can't be acting like
a jerk
raising hell.
Yeah. There are a lot of jerks out there and they say they're Christian, but let me tell you, if you know someone and they don't have the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and they say they're a Christian, I question it.
We're judged by our fruit. It's not judgment looking down. It's assessing what's really going on here. That's all. So you can know, is this somebody I should ask advice?
Right. Because I think a lot of times we say, oh, I've known some Christians and they were horrible. Well, let me tell you something. They weren't a Christian. Because if they're acting horrible and doing horrible things, they're not following the teachings of Jesus. And Christians aren't people that say they're Christians. They're people who act like Christians. And so if you have people in your life who have said they're Christian and they were horrific, maybe they weren't, or at least they weren't at the time when they did that horrific thing. And we've all made mistakes. We've all acted bad. You've acted bad too. We all have bad days. But I mean, it's not like doing it once or twice. People who practice a lifestyle hurting, right? In Galatians 5, it talks about those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. People who continually do these bad things.
Practicing immorality as a lifestyle.
Right. And they say they're Christian. They're not.
No.
You know, practicing things that are against what the Word of God teaches and what Jesus teaches us to live. We're not a Christian as a Christ follower. We're following Christ with our life. And I know when you first become a Christian, it's kind of a journey. You're sort of learning the Word of God. He's transforming you. And it's a process.
Yeah.
But if it's someone who says, hey, I'm totally sold out. I'm 100% Christian. And they're not living like one. I don't think they are. Yeah. They're not. Just because you say, you can't say I'm a banana and then you're a banana. You're not a banana.
Unless you're a banana, then you can't say anything. Well, it's been fun for the last 5 years. Thanks, listener.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to reach out, say hi to us. We're on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, you can find us. It's Juan Galloway for Facebook and Instagram. For me, it's Mambo Tracy Lucia Galloway on Facebook. And on Instagram, I think I'm Hello There Mambo. And go eat a banana and celebrate.
Yeah, and if you want to
you made it.
Check out our future podcasts, the best way to follow us is on our website, which is galloway'sonmission.com.
Yeah, I'll spell that. GALLOWAYS on mission, MISSION. .com. You'll find pictures of us. And we also put our blog up on there of where we are in the world and what we're doing around the world, because every year we're in different locations. Yeah. So if you're listening to this in 2050, well, we might be dead.
That's okay.
But you can go back and see where we were before we died.
Well, we're still living now. And it's been fun to do this together. So thanks, guys, for listening. And, you know, keep asking those questions. Keep building relationships.
Yeah. God bless you.
Keep digging in with Jesus.
Get deep with relationships, because, you know, it's all about knowing God and making him known and loving God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself.
Oof.
Bye.